The WYSL stations bring you Jose Pio and Laval Lewis and your weekly dose of PCP. It's your hour of common sense with the politically correcting podcast and show. You got the power to let power
go. We are back. Back from the, what do you call that, the Midwest? Is Boulder, Colorado the Midwest?
Yes.
We'll go with that. We'll call it a totally different land.
That's the mountains, man.
We were definitely in Rocky Mountains, or we were in Flatiron Mountains. That's where we were. Thank you for coming back to listen to us. We were invited out to University of Colorado out there to talk at their World Affairs Forum. And, man, I think that we had an awesome time. We got our friend here, Aaron, who is from out that way as well.
She is the reason why we're out there and doing all that hard work and putting all that stuff together. So thank you for what you were able to accomplish.
It was my pleasure. I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you so much for having us and for hosting us out there. But we can certainly say that Boulder is a different kind of city, having been there for, what were we there for, 4 days, 5 days?
Mm-hmm.
Give us some insight, Lavelle, on what you thought of Boulder.
It was very bright. Bright meaning white people. I was definitely a minority.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, besides me and Coach Prime and maybe like a couple other guys, like when you see another black dude like in a store, you give each other that eye like, yeah, bro, it's only us. We can nod and you're like, yo, listen, man, if it goes down... We all we got.
Did you think that they automatically assumed you were a Democrat there too?
Yeah, probably. And they also probably think I'm just some guy that just depends on someone else to solve my, problems. And I don't think that everybody's racist and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I can honestly say that's probably the second gayest city I've ever been in.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm just saying flamboyancy in both the personnel as well as the streets and the signage and the windows. I mean, it was flags everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. And it felt as if when we went to one particular store that didn't actually have the flag all over it. That wasn't the purpose of why we're going in there. I actually was in there to buy a lamp. The flag that they had was like off in the corner, kind of hidden. The guy that was running the place was very like, Middle Eastern descent of some sort.
He seemed like he was kind of Turkish, maybe.
Yeah. So okay. He was just like, it seemed like he was like, I got to put this over here just to have it, I guess. But yeah, all over the roads, all over the signage. I was like, man, good for them. They've taken over that town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely tell the message is about it's a diversity, equity, inclusive town. And the best way for them to show it. Not in reality. You're right. Their perception is definitely not the reality when it comes down to it. And if you got even the guys in the hot dog stand, every hot dog stand has a rainbow umbrella, right? And also the crosswalk signs were rainbow. And this is about your sexuality, right? What your sexual preference. And if you're promoting that more than you're promoting being an American, you've seen more pride flags and you've seen American flags. And then if you do put up an American flag, you're kind of looked differently versus when you have the pride flag up.
Oh, it's absolutely. Because I think I saw maybe one American flag and it was like one of your neighbors. And when we went to the gym while we were down there and I wore my pride flag shirt and it's the American flag. And one guy comes up to me, and he's, like, saying it in, like a low, like, he didn't want anybody to hear him say it. He's like, dude, I really like your shirt, man. He's like, I'm with you, and but I can't even show it. I feel like I have to kind of hide how I love my country and how I am, much more of a patriot. I was like, do you feel as if this city kind of makes you conform into what they believe? He's like, oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if I were to come out as, the type of person I am, I would certainly be not... they would not include me as much as they do now. So when they say that they're diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's the same exact DEI that you see, in my opinion, anywhere else in the country where we love your diversity, in skin tone, not in ideology.
Yeah.
We are inclusive if you believe in what we believe in. Because yeah. we've seen from many people prior to the events, we had a couple trolls out there. We had a couple people that actually worked for the campus that were kind of like trying to hammer down on some of the memes that we share. And
yeah, we were racist. We were called racist before the event.
That was great. That was awesome.
I never in my life have been called a racist. Ever.
I've been called a racist.
Well, I thought... Oh, yeah, you were. But I thought for, you know, for me, you know, you would want to see or get more information from someone before you go ahead and judge them. And just going back to your point of how people within the community are afraid to kind of put themselves out there for being a patriot. We met some very wonderful people, not just to kind of add context to the experience. It was definitely interesting to see so many people that aligned with us who all said the same thing, where you have folks who are from Texas and they're afraid to put their American flag up, but also afraid to confess that they're Republican. But, and they're very established and successful people, but the environment that they live in, if you as an American are afraid to express your patriotism, that's a problem.
But that's where they've gotten us.
Yeah.
That's where they've gotten us to the point where, and I remember when Trump was running for president and you would see these big honky trucks with this big American flag flying behind it. I would immediately think that person was a racist. Mm. Immediately. That was a progressive PO before, right? And now I see it. I'm like, man, we need to see more flags because people are just lost. Mm-hmm. And after our amazing event, which went swimmingly well, my wife said that, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, politically correcting podcast level, we probably kept it at a 2. And I said, well, we had to. You know, we had to because, you know, a lot of people were looking to us to fail. A lot of people were looking to us to say the wrong thing. And I think that that kind of kept us a little bit behind just to make sure that, because we were not only representing us, we were representing you, we were representing WYSL. You know, we were representing quite a number of people. And we wanted to make sure that hopefully next year we get invited back, you know, because it really was an amazing time that we had there. And it's amazing to see that they were able to bring in people who didn't necessarily agree with them. But as soon as they saw things that they didn't agree with, they were very either aggressive against us or like, you know, maybe we shouldn't go down that path because we don't want to, you know, upset people. Like, why would that be upsetting if you bring out the truth? Mm-hmm. Why would the truth be upsetting?
Well, you know what they don't realize or understand or even know there with throughout our history, propaganda has always been used to create some sort of divide. And they don't realize or recognize their own prejudices that, you know, has been programmed into their brain to treat us in a way to where what we say is dangerous. What we say isn't it doesn't align with their version of freedom, right? You can't say someone is free when you're trying to dictate the terms how they can be free. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how white folks in the South, the Dixiecrats, were able to get away with what they were able to get away with. They told black folks how they could be free. This is the same exact thing that they're doing over in some parts of Boulder that they were doing back then, but they don't recognize it. They believe that they're on the right side of freedom and security by being able to control what you say, how you say, what you talk about, what you believe in. I do believe that January 6th was a inside job. I do believe January 6th was something that was created to make Donald Trump look bad. There is a lot of evidence out there for that. I should be able to say that.
Yeah, and without them getting all up in their freaking panties because they're afraid that you're going to set off another January 6th.
Yeah.
Now, why? And then when I brought up the whole, what's his name, from COVID, when it came to, how am I forgetting this guy's name?
Bill Gates?
No, not only Bill Gates.
No.
Fauci.
Oh, Fauci. Fauci, yeah, thank you. Anthony Fauci deserved jail.
Like you had the two people get up and leave because it was just so hurtful to hear.
But you also had a lot of clapping from the audience.
Yeah, we found out really quickly what our audience consisted of.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems as if most people were there to, like, we're finally able to hear people that speak to us.
Yeah, not to toot my own horn, but I did have the most people come to talk to me afterwards because they were all Republicans. And they were, like, you know, happy to hear that someone at least was up there talking on their behalf in this super liberal town. Like when I mentioned about January 6th being an inside job, I noticed a woman clap her hands and nod her head. I was like, oh yeah, I'm home now.
And she was an older woman.
And she was older. She was older white woman. I actually had four older white women come to talk to me afterwards and appreciate what I was saying. And then there was one, younger white guy. He had one of those, you could tell he was a cowboy.
Bolo.
Yeah, right.
Bolo clips.
Yeah, the bolo clips with the string going down. But he also wanted to challenge me and push back on some of the things that I said. And that's what the whole event was supposed to be about.
I think the subconscious programming that we all go through, that's something to talk about, and how Boulder does a good job with the subconscious programming.
When we come back from this break, maybe Aaron will speak a little bit.
See.
Yeah, when we come back, if you're here at the WYSL radio station 346-3000, if you had any kind of experience in Boulder, please give us a call at the Politically Correcting Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around. Where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, boys are back in town.
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties? That there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted? These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester needs to grow. Our kids are telling us they don't feel safe in their neighborhoods or rec centers, and they're asking us to be open more. And thanks to your support, we will. We're adding a weeknight and Saturday mornings to our basketball program. We're adding a second Arts Academy Friday night. And we're adding a second P31 girls class on Saturdays. But we need your help. $25 per month funds a kid for a year. Give your best gift to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Advertising on the WYSL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WYSL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Politically correcting.
All right, Aaron swears she's going to talk this time to Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, with the Bobs, Mr. Dr. Bob and Bobby D back there. So talk to us, Aaron. What are your thoughts on how maybe people were expecting it to go and then how you thought it went?
So I think that there was probably different points of view, right? Your social media presence is a little bit confusing, I think, to some people. I think it can be misleading. I think sometimes you're calling out the hypocrisy. I think almost always you're calling out the hypocrisy that we see, but it's perceived by some people as more damaging than...
It's perceived by the left as more damaging.
Yeah, probably, but maybe by people on the right, too. I don't know, but either way, I don't always get... what you post, to be honest with you, and I'm not really on the left anymore, more in the middle, but
you're independent now.
I am independent now.
Yeah, you broke the shackles and
I did
became your own person.
Oh, because of this show.
Mm-hmm. It is because of this show. Mm-hmm. and not because you guys told me what to think or because I necessarily agree with everything you guys say. I definitely don't, and there's things that I agree with Lavelle on, there's things I agree with Jose on, and there's things I don't agree with either of you on. But what you do is you get me thinking. and you give me enough to get started with in my own research. Mm-hmm. So, you know, instead of me just believing everything that I've been told, believing the narrative that is out there for so many people, the narrative that we're all afraid to face is the truth, it seems like, these days. And, you know, you made a good point. If you speak out against what we're being told, you tend to get a lot of stuff for it, right? And you're shut down pretty quickly, and you do feel like you have to be basically a closet truth enthusiast, which makes no sense to me in this world of information and in a time when truth is more important than ever.
That's a great way of putting it, a closet truth enthusiast, because what people will claim that we are conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. And the fact, and we had someone say that to us, you know, that we're a conspiracy theorist. I said, well, what conspiracy do you think that we're pushing here? Because in my opinion, everything we've said has been proven to be correct. And there were quite a few topics that was brought up that people thought were conspiracy theorists until we actually ran through it, and they just had no idea that information was out there. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that I made sure to discuss when we were, you know, talking about conspiracy theory, or no, we didn't even get to discuss, but when I say that we've been right pretty much all along, there's been times we talked about child sex trafficking for quite a bit, and it was before Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was just the tipping point. But there's been conversations had about, you know, Hollywood and the music industry having some kind of sexual thing with children, and that there's things being held behind closed doors. Well, we then saw it with Jeffrey Epstein, and we saw it not only with his case, but the fact that they were having his court and his court case and Ghislaine Maxwell's court case behind closed. You couldn't take pictures. You had no video of it.
No video.
But you had freaking, what's his name, the actor, Johnny Depp, and his ex-wife talking about pooping in the bed and stuff. And it's like, we can have all that information out there, but we can't talk about the people who were caught on camera by Jeffrey Epstein doing disgusting things.
Well, was that to protect the children's innocence?
Sure. Right. But how come there's not been one single arrest that's came from it?
Yeah.
But that was a conspiracy theory.
Well, do you think they were really protecting the children or protecting the people who were joining Epstein at these parties?
Well, that on top of the Hunter Biden laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this. This was, you know, put on the news and right before the election was had, and Google, Facebook, social media, Twitter, all of them suppressed that information. Right before we were about to vote for our next president, and we shouldn't know that our next president was possibly doing some things that he shouldn't have been doing. We won't even know, because now the FBI says they can't even find a laptop. They have no answer as to where the laptop is.
No.
Weird, because they don't have anywhere where the camera footage is from Jeffrey Epstein's house either.
No, they know. They actually went there and got it.
Right.
The feds went masked up, kind of like what they did with Puff Daddy. And he went there and got what they needed.
He's not canceled.
He's not canceled.
He's still not canceled. He still has every opportunity to make money out there.
Well, some people are untouchable. And again, the whole word itself, conspiracy theory, that word became very commonly used right after the JFK assassination. So the people who are in control know exactly what they're doing. They know how to program folks and get them to align with whatever information or narrative that they put out there. We must understand that our media, and not the independent folks, but the people up at the top, and this is what we discovered from the panel before us at the Warm Economic Forum. The journalists believe that independent journalism is a way to go to get information.
Yeah, they meant the ones that align with them.
But
we
still
took it as we are that.
Yes, but at the same time, it goes back to what we were saying before. You cannot dictate freedom. You can't tell people how to be free. You must leave it up to this individual to seek or get whatever information that they need for themselves, and then give them the opportunity to make that decision for themselves. You cannot control what someone puts into their brain and then expect them to kind of, you know, go either way. It's really up to the individual, and you just got to let God do its course. And like, hey, if you want to go to the meat grinder, it's on you.
But
go ahead.
That's not how the system is designed, though. I mean, early education is where it all begins, right? And there's a program. There's a program in place. And I'm not saying it's all bad, but in order for people to think freely, they have to be exposed to both sides.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't have a one-sided narrative, which in my opinion, is really what our education system is designed to do. It's, I mean, all through higher education. I'm not going to tell you that you're not ever exposed to controversial information, but that to me is the importance of these difficult conversations and the ones that you guys encourage. And why I invited you to campus was because I feel like you do a wonderful job coming from both sides of things and encouraging people to think for themselves, to think critically, not just to accept what we're all being told in headlines and even from independent journalists, because there's some wonderful ones out there, but there's some out there that are really not credible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be the ones to discern that information. You guys talked on misinformation and disinformation at the conference, and I thought that was a really strong point to be made.
Yeah, because there is a difference. If you knowingly are spreading false information like Fauci did, then that's not misinformation. He wasn't just, you know, like Joe Biden. Oh, he's an old senile guy that, you know, means well, but, you know, he just made some bad mistakes. No. He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he knew was the Wuhan lab. That was one thing that was brought up during our conversation, because that was considered a conspiracy theory. And people were called racist and bigoted when we said, well, the Wuhan lab was a source of the COVID outbreak. That's, you can't tell me it was a bat freaking market that got loose, or someone ate a bat that was infested. You can't tell me that when there is a freaking lab that's right there in the exact same city.
The Oversight Committee in the U.S. has already proved that. Republicans and Democrats together have come together to prove that. And now they're building another one in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Fort Collins, they're going to be the next one. You guys are going to be the epicenter of the next potentially, allegedly, outbreak that they claimed was going to happen. Bill Gates himself has said that there's going to be another type of COVID. It's going to be bigger and worse. He said that. And again, there's so many people out there that have no idea what Bill Gates has said.
Nope.
And when we show them, we tell them, and you go to Google it, Google has erased that information.
Sure
has. Mm-hmm. This is way worse than what people think out there.
Absolutely.
It's not, oh, I got to find an alternative source. No. If you can't Google Bill Gates saying that he's going to decrease the population between 10 to 15% using vaccines and using our health care, that's a problem that Google is stifling you from getting the correct information.
Right.
And then after the Wuhan lab came the vaccination, right? The pushing of the vaccines. And people were saying they're going to force it on you. I said, well, they're not going to force it on you because this is America. But they're certainly going to coerce you into getting these vaccines. Newspapers all over Rochester were telling me I'm a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. I'm an anti-vaxxer. I don't know what I'm talking about. Dr. Mendoza himself said it. I don't know what I'm talking about. And look what happened. Yeah. I was a conspiracy theorist. And look what happened.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we can keep going. The cloud seeding.
Now you're getting the stage. You're finally getting the
right. You can keep rolling with the conspiracy theories. Because the thing about when COVID was rolled out, and you bring up the things that they were going to do, like mandating the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. That they tried doing.
Right, that they're trying to do. But even the fact that after COVID came out and folks started to raise awareness on the COVID deaths and how those numbers were skewed and it was being used as a weapon to create more fear. And you have some very, like, people who, by the way they talk, very well-spoken individuals, still believe that what actually happened was legit. Like, every single death was a COVID death. And that's not the case. There was an agenda that needed to be had. They needed a fear to push the vaccinations. They needed a fear to complete this bioweapon that they created in a lab. And now they're trying to create another one in our backyard.
In your backyard. So that's...
Are we going to get to the stuff that we learned that they're doing out there?
We can get into it right now.
I mean,
that could be another show.
We're
about to go to break in a second. But, you know, the cloud seeding thing was another one. They think it's conspiracy theory. And now all that information is coming out that, of course, we're seeding clouds. We need to make it rain, right? Well, don't you think that manipulating nature is going to cause some kind of, I don't know, maybe a negative effect?
I mean, we keep seeing it over and over again.
Do you want to speed up global warming? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go mess
up the
clouds.
Do you want to speed up another pandemic?
Yeah, let's go block
pour some things in our clouds.
Yeah, let's keep the CO2 down on the ground level.
But our voices need to be blocked out.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be allowed on campus to talk. We'll be right back after this. A little bit of politically correcting, boys. LeVar Lewis, myself, the Jose Peel. We got Aaron here. Give us good information on her time and living out in Boulder after our time spent out there. We'll be right back with the WYSL radio station, 346-3000. It's a number to call in if you yourself have also seen some of this pushback from your friends, your family, your employee, and your employers? Let us know. Give us a call.
Politically correcting.
All right, we are right back here with Laval Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, our guest Aaron, and the Bobs behind the ones and twos.
And the bumper music. You are always on it with the bumper music.
Oh, shucks,
listener,
thanks.
I have to tell you, I really appreciate that.
We feel bad for everyone on social media. You guys can't hear the music today. I'm sorry. We're fixing everything, but hopefully everything else looks great.
As always.
We do have a caller, Gina.
Hi, guys.
Hey, G.
Hey, your COVID topic really got me going.
Oh, so yeah?
That's always
things. I'm going to kind of tell my quick story and then see what you guys have to say about it. So when I caught COVID, I'd already had a mini stroke prior, but I had three after COVID, all with COVID infections, all in the same spot in my cerebellum, which made it so I could not walk. And then the last time I had COVID, miraculously, I'm still alive. But I got this infection, a colon infection that was undiagnosed for a year because doctors couldn't figure it out. And what happened was it went and ate all my organs.
Jeez.
So I'm dealing with liver failure, kidney failure. So I just wanted you guys to touch on that because I think I drive Lyft and Uber. So I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people have been affected the same way I have. But the doctors don't know, no one can talk about it. So I thought I would bring this up as a topic, and I would appreciate you guys talking about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Can I ask anymore if you are vaccinated?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is that what you're referring to, or are you talking about like a long COVID type of thing?
No, it's not long COVID. Calling it.
It's adverse
it wasn't
effect.
Long
yeah.
COVID.
I just wanna...
It was my body destroying itself. So, yes, I am vaccinated. I haven't gotten the last vaccination yet, and I'm kind of confused if I should or I shouldn't, you know? So I just want to hear what you guys have to say about it.
I will say this.
We're not doctors, first of all.
No, we're not.
We are not doctors.
No, but I will say this, and this is based off of my own research on the medical system that we have, period. You know, there's a lot of diagnosis issues that I think we have within our medical system. And what we do is we trust our doctors so much that we don't kind of push back or try and find out, you know, the best possible solution for what's actually going wrong with us. You know, when I was helping out with my kid's mom and she was going through her medical situations, you've got so many different opinions and solutions from so many different doctors. And the first thing they do is, you know, prescribe you with something that doesn't really work or has an adverse reaction, or they really don't get to the very problem. I think that what they did with COVID, they use that as an excuse or explanation for everything. And I from my understanding with the medical field is they treat what needs to be treated. You got to find out what it is before you just go ahead and, you know, give people anything. And, you know, Gina, for you, I hope, you know, your health definitely improves and you can find whatever natural ways to kind of boost your immune system and get you back going, because that's really what any flu or virus or disease attacks. It's your immune system. And doctors don't talk about increasing your immune system or improving your immune system.
And decreasing inflammation.
Yeah.
And fantastic. Now, for those online who didn't hear, you know, Gina's asking about some symptoms that she's had after getting vaccinated. And again, we are not doctors. But that being said, something that doctors also aren't talking about, which have been discussed before, that, again, you won't be able to really find anymore, even though I did share the information, was that people were testing positive after getting the vaccine. They were testing positive for AIDS. Now, I'm not saying they had AIDS. What I'm saying is, what does AIDS stand for? Acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. So if your your immune system is now deficient to be able to fight off infections. Mm-hmm. That's what AIDS does to people. Mm-hmm. You don't usually die from that. It's just your body just deteriorates. And I've seen it multiple times with multiple people who are afraid to either speak up about it, who posted it on social media, and it got taken down almost immediately by the social media companies, who have been silenced, who've been told by their doctors that, you know, maybe you had something all along, but they were completely healthy before. If this is happening to you, I advise you to speak up, because the problem right now is people are still not accepting the fact that there are adverse effects from the vaccine itself. We have people who mm-hmm. still believe in the vaccine saving lives. It may or may not have. I don't know. All I can say is from my studies, from what I've looked at, from what I have seen, is that if you tested positive for AIDS after getting vaccinated and they blocked out that information from you even being able to search it on Google, that right there tells me that there was something there that maybe they wanted to hide. Because mm-hmm. This wasn't even a study that was done in America. This was a study in, like, I believe it was like Israel or Germany or something like that. And it came out with the information, and within a week it was taken down. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you can't just take away statistical information. You can't just take away the fact that people were testing positive for AIDS. That's terrible. Yeah. But we're seeing a lot of people sick right now. We're seeing a lot more people who are consistently sick all the time.
Whatever happened to doctors challenging each other, though? Whatever happened to doctors?
What happened during COVID? They took people's degrees away.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you speak up against what we're... This is... All the doctors are behind us. Well, not all of them are, because we have an entire group of doctors all around the world who sign on to say, look, we need to discuss this more. We need to look at this more before we start telling people what to do with this vaccine.
Great Barrington Declaration.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And they freaking took all their crap away. Like, you weren't allowed to be a doctor anymore.
Yeah. So can I put a different spin on this? Please, because do. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I have had almost every shot that I've been required to have. I had 3 COVID shots. I had such significant adverse effects that it was not worth it. I ended up with long COVID, ended up in the hospital with pneumonia, misdiagnosed pneumonia, was on 2 different heavy-duty antibiotics, only to find out that they were then causing severe adverse effects, and it was just COVID the whole time. So all the jabs, and I did it because that was the right thing for me to do at the time, but I was also required to do it to keep my job. I'm going to say this as somebody who actually does believe in vaccines. I would encourage everybody not necessarily to listen to what we're saying and say we're against vaccines and vaccines don't work and all of that, but do your research, because there is another lab being built in Colorado that has potentially terrible impact, potential effects that are going to cause another situation just like what we just faced. And I'm not personally going to say don't take a vaccine. What I'm going to say is do your research. When things are rushed through the system, or even if they're not, you really should be aware of what you're putting in your body.
And I never told anyone not to take the vaccine. I have more vaccines inside of me than most people. I was in the military. I'm freaking jabbed the F up, right? Yeah. But what I told people was, look at the risks associated with what you're deciding to do with your body. Mm-hmm. Look at the risk, and if you decide for yourself that that's the risk you're willing to take, that's up to you to decide. Right. As for me and my house, we're not doing it, because the risks just outweighed the potential positives of it.
Right. We cannot, you know, forget, though, this is big business. Our bodies are dollar signs for people up at the top who are creating the problem and then saying they have the solution. We know people like Bill Gates. This is not conspiracy, but Bill Gates, he's done had polio vaccinations pushed out in places like India and Africa, where they were giving these vaccines to the younger women in these parts of the world, and they lost their menstrual cycles, went crazy, they became sterile, they can't have any kids. So, and also there's death. And what they did in India is they kicked Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation out of there. In this lab that you're talking about, this new stuff that they're coming out with in Colorado, Bill Gates, he's funding and financing these labs. This guy created the viruses for the computer, remember? Hey, guess what, guys? I got the spam block for you.
It's the same thing. And the message coming through media. It's all the same money.
Exactly.
So pay attention and do your research.
Thank you very much, Gina, for the call. And we appreciate everyone listening in so far. We're going to go to another break. We'll be right back with the Politically Correcting Boys with our guest Aaron here and the Bobs, of course, Dr. Bob and Bobby D back there. We'll be right back here at WYSL. 346-3000 is the number to call if you want to give us your info as well. Yes.
The quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties, that there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
I'm Greece Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Joe Robach. If you're looking to market and grow your business, make new business connections, and give back to the community in a meaningful way, consider joining the Greece Regional Chamber. We are the largest suburban chamber in Monroe County, and we offer networking, education, marketing, insurance, and advocacy. You do not need to live or work in Greece to join. Our members come from throughout the region. In short, we are better together, and together, we can move your business forward. Visit GreaseChamber.org or call 585-227-7272 to join today. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Tom Wall's team member, Ollie. We were getting crushed. It's the middle of a Friday dinner, and all of a sudden, my boss screams out,
"You guys are doing a great job!"
In unison, me and 20 coworkers yell back, "Thanks, Kat. Tom Wall's."
Politically correcting.
We are back, your favorite conspiracy theory show, I guess. That's what others call us, but we are straight up spitting facts here. Politically correcting boys. Laval Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, with our guest here, Aaron. And of course, the Bobbies back here as always.
Do you think people get upset with us because we are not your typical outspoken minorities?
I think people get upset not at us, but the fact that their belief system is getting challenged. Mm. And that goes for, it could be religion wise, it could be war wise, what countries should we be supporting. The fact that we get into topics that we don't have the educational background for, but yet we have more information than they do on it. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they believe in something so freaking much, yet here we come in as absolute nobodies on freaking Facebook, on social media, on the radio, and disrupting their entire mechanism that's within their head. Like, no. Big Daddy MSNBC told me this is right. How dare these guys tell me different?
I think you make people very uncomfortable.
Good.
We're a little bit subconsciously ignorant. Not intentionally. I don't think any of us are intentionally ignorant, but I think that they're...
Now you are. If you've heard this radio station... If you've heard us talk and we've told you all these truths, now you are choosing to be ignorant.
Yeah, pretty much.
I had to share some links about, Bill Gates talking about 10 to 15% decrease in human population. You saw it. Mm-hmm. You saw it.
Yeah.
I knew it. And this guy had no idea about it. He's like, nah, that sounds crazy. I'm like, yeah, it does sound crazy. You're absolutely right.
Laval sounded like a nutcase in the beginning of my friendship with him.
Oh my gosh.
When we reconnected and you told me you were a black Republican, you're a Republican. That's all you had to tell me.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like,
she looked at me like I was crazy. She's like,
reconnect here. Like, right? I was so far left at that point. And everything you'd tell me, I thought you were nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Nuts. But then I started actually looking into it for myself. Mm-hmm. And I realized... You're not the crazy one here.
Well, give him the quote from the other Republican black man.
Oh, the go ahead, the read, main Republican
read it for
black
us.
Man.
You got your glasses?
Liberty is meaningless where the right to utter one's thoughts and opinions has ceased to exist. That of all rights is the dread of tyrants. It is the right which they first of all strike down. They know its power. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers founded in injustice and wrong are sure to tremble if men are allowed to reason. Equally clear is the right to hear. To suppress free speech is a double wrong. It violates the rights of the hearer as well as those of the speaker.
Who said that?
That's our hero right there. My hero, Frederick Douglass.
Oh. Who's buried here Frederick in Rochester, Douglas. By the way, folks. He is resting here for a reason because this was the place he felt comfortable to speak his mind.
To utter those words.
Utter those words, launch the North Star newspaper. And just this experience again that, you know, we had in Colorado, we kind of experienced a little bit of that pushback because we were promoting freedom, liberty. He was a rock star because he could articulate what freedom was based off of his own personal experience of being a slave. You can't take that away from somebody.
Right. But other people will pretend like they have a history of slavery imposed upon them, and therefore we need to shut up because we don't know.
Yeah.
What are you talking about,
bro? Yeah, oh yeah, you know my plight. You know my experience as a black man growing up in the city, you know, experiencing my trauma, having my experiences to learn from and be able to articulate a point that I think, you know, it needs to be heard. Regardless whether you agree with it or not, you should not try and silence me and stop me from speaking. Then you become my opposition.
Well, the problem is during the whole COVID thing, something that was brought up actually on our podcast too down there was BLM. And the problem that we still see to this day was that BLM normalized socialism and Marxism. Mm-hmm. They normalized it, which anyone that knows history knows that when you are normalizing socialism and Marxism, you're also going to want to take away people's guns. Mm-hmm. Because the only thing that comes out after that is communism and tyrants. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that comes out of socialism, which is an ideology that has led to at least 60 million people dead. And they're pushing for it in the black community because black history is gay history. Mm-hmm. And somehow black people are equated to socialism. You guys are being used left and right. And there's people still in the city that truly believe that this organization that bought their freaking top heads people's multiple houses, they were able to pay their, you know, family members hundreds of thousands of dollars and not a single dollar went back into the community, that organization is still something to be uplifted.
Yeah, representing black people. Well, you know, we speak about this on the show all the time. I went back in time to kind of show where it began. And if you know the names of Frederick Douglass, then you need to know the names of Booker T. Washington, but you also need to know the names of W.E.B. Du Bois. And that within the black community was the start of this socialistic ideology that spread year after year, decade after decade. The civil rights movement was not a movement for black people to get ahead. It literally kept them into this poverty-stricken ideology that the government is here to save you, and it has never worked for the people.
Shackles.
Ever.
Just a new form of shackles.
Yeah.
And we already know we're in a new form of shackles with this corporatocracy being controlling our government at this point, where these big money, huge money people like what's his name from back in the day that we saw the YouTube video?
John D. Rockefeller was an investor in that NAACP movement. You know, they're one of their presidents was a Goldman Sachs family member.
They look at that, but people look at that as that gives them credibility. And I'm like, that should open up your eyes to the past of every other big money donor who has ever put money into some type of social change. It's like, why are they pushing this? Why are they pushing corporations to, I don't know, pay for your freaking get an abortion? Why are corporations outwardly talking about we will pay for your abortion if you come work for us?
Bro, like I said on the panel the other day, the thought of pulling yourself up from the bootstraps was turned into a unrealistic thought. And the people that financed the counter of it, they took the word of a man that grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. W.E.B. Du Bois wasn't a slave. He was well off. Booker T. Washington was a slave. Frederick Douglass was a slave. And Booker T. Washington's message to his people was, your work, your merit, your ability to provide something for someone else is always going to be your calling card to be successful in life. Not this, oh, we shall overcome ideology, which, again, has set black people back so far, so long, to where we're a bunch of beggars, criers, and victims. And I do not abide to that at all.
That's fantastic, and that's surely going to get us canceled all over the place. We do got to give a shout-out to Cooper from The Bold. That's the CU's newspaper out there. He did an interview with us. This kid, young kid, I say kid because he was like, what, 22?
22?
Journalism student.
Yeah, I'm sorry, journalism student. Yeah. Man, this kid had a good head on his shoulders, being from Boulder, being outwardly queer, he told us.
He was born in New York State.
Right, right.
Then moved to San Antonio, then went to Boulder. And yeah, just like you're saying, he was a queer kid. We find that out at the end of the interview. And the thing that impressed me about the kid was his knowledge on history and just being able to kind of pinpoint certain things that happened during 9/11, which he wasn't really, born for.
Right.
He was able to kind of bring a conversation, a thoughtful conversation, and hold his own with two older men.
Yeah, he really killed it. So I appreciate you connecting us with Cooper over there. I can't wait for his article to come out because that might freaking shatter some brains over there. We might have to do like one of those grand opening of minds freaking podcasts down in Boulder, because
he gave us hope, because he should. Yeah. Hopefully he becomes an independent journalist. He doesn't get a job, because he's very talented, but hopefully he doesn't, get a job through the mainstream side and they water him down and then change who he is. He is a very, very impressive kid.
And that's what happens in this world right now that we live in this country, is that if you are anyone who does not fall in line with the talking points and the talking heads and the, what everyone's
programming.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. But if you don't fall into that, they're going to take your livelihood away. They'll threaten it at the very least.
Well, and your reputation is damaged.
All of that. Sure.
Threatened, damaged.
I do think we were kind of closer to gatekeepers. I mean, your university is definitely known for journalism. And a lot of universities across the world, across the country, have a journalism program, and you have to ask the question, where are they getting that money from? If they're getting money, is there some sort of stipulations tied behind that money? Mm-hmm. Who can? I mean, just looking back, going back to John D. Rockefeller and all of the things that they have their hands into, all of the philanthropic things that they kind of push out there. They got their hands. They got the money in education. They got the money in environment. They got their money in medical.
Medical, right?
So we have to kind of really go talk to the 1%.
Every day, all day.
All day.
And tell your friends. If your friends are part of that crew, say, give us a listen. Give us a chance. Hear us out for a second. Even if you see this right here, this kind of conversation, of course we're a little bombastic. But when we meet you in person, they almost always love us. Every single time, they're like, well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Go look it up yourself.
You get us thinking. And that's what we should all be doing.
I'm cool with that. The podcast returns this Thursday. I can't wait for that. That's going to be fantastic Thursday evening. But we'll be back.
On everybody?
What was that?
Just Paul Revere? That's pretty much what you just said. Like, the podcast is coming.
The podcast is coming. I thought you were talking about the song there. But we'll be right back here at the WYSL station on Wednesday, 1 p.m. here at the Politically Correcting Radio Show. Thank you so much, Aaron, for coming. And, of course, thank you to the Bobs.
Thanks for coming to Boulder. Thanks for sharing the good word. Always.
Keep your strength up.
Maybe he came to you when everything seemed fine.